Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Joel Elston here. It's Thursday, May 26, 2016, and we are, as usual, trying something completely different that we haven't done before, because this time we actually get to see each other, and you can see what we look like, too, in our t-shirts and our headphones as we do this show, because we're going to put this on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on PRN or on the LOA Today website, and you want to actually see what our mugs look like, first of all, I question your judgment. But second of all, you can just go to YouTube and you'll be able to see us there. Just do a lookup for LOA Today and today's date, and you'll be able to see us. And Joel, this is actually a new experience for us, because this is the first time I've seen you and the first time you've seen me.
Actually, yes, we talk all the time, but we've never met in person, so we get to see each other face to face. And again, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but at least it is something new, and it's exciting to try new stuff.
Hey, you got to stay on top of technology. It's kind of the rule. You know, you're in the 21st century, so the rule says you have to stay on top of technology, you know?
Well, in the fact that it took us probably about 30 minutes to figure out the technology beforehand, but it is exciting, and something that I'm noticing in the background, you have a very nice picture. I have a trash can on the lower right below my left shoulder, so I want to. My goal for next week is to get a nice picture for the background, so when people see me, it'll look really nice.
That sounds good. Yes. Actually, I think I'm going to make an adjustment to my screen so that my body and face are higher. If you can make a similar adjustment to your screen, then I can see more of you, because I see like a whole bunch of wall above you.
Yes, mine is not going to move.
It's not going to move. It's not going to move. It is what it is. Then.
It is what it is. So,
all right. Well, that's
I'll work
right.
on that next week.
We'll live with that.
Yes.
If you're not seeing us on PRN, that's probably just as well.
Yes. You're going to our content is going to be equally as quality. I'm hopeful.
I would think so. It can't get any worse than it is right now.
Exactly. And we have this. I do have a mental note to continue to wear clothes on Saturday morning when we do this show.
That's a good policy. I like
yes,
that one.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway. You know, we actually hadn't come up with a topic today, but I do have one in mind, and you kind of cued it to me before we started the show, as so often happens, when you talked about how Virginia is going for a rain record today, whereas here in Connecticut, we're actually experiencing stellar spring weather. So why don't we just talk about the weather and how we can not let the weather interfere with what's going on in our lives, and appreciate the weather and feel good about it, and use that as a way to start leveraging what we want to leverage in LOA.
Well, I think that earlier today when we were talking, I said I'm hoping we break this record today, and you're like, really? Like,
what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Well, it isn't that I really care if the record gets broken. It's the fact that it's going to be raining today, and it's going to be raining a lot. So I might as well get on board with the idea of raining and have a goal attached to that. I want to make it fun. So I'm really hoping when I watch the 11 o'clock news tonight, which I won't watch, but when I read the paper tomorrow, they'll say we broke the record. It doesn't mean anything. It's the fact that I can either view it as a neutral, a negative, or a positive, the rain. That's really what it is. The rain's happening. It's my response to the rain that I'm in control of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. In fact, it reminds me, when Louise and I moved to Virginia for the first time, this was in January 2002, I think it was, or 2003, I can't remember which, that following spring, it was the exact same kind of thing. But it wasn't just in May. It was the entire spring was rain.
Wow.
Which was actually rather disconcerting. No, it was more than that. It was financially damaging, because Louise had a gardening business. And the thing you cannot do when it rains day after day after day is gardening.
Yes.
So basically, we moved down there. She had the intention of starting her gardening business up. We actually got some good PR coverage for her in the newspaper, but she couldn't actually do any work because it was raining every day.
Good publicity, but no ability to do the work.
We did, however, and there's where looking at the plus side is, we did discover a terrific way to get publicity. And it's one that's kind of obvious if you think about it, but the local paper, we got them to do a write-up on her new business in town. And when we did that, the calls poured in. course, the rain poured down, but the calls poured in.
Well, and you know, the idea that within that context, you're able to see the positive. I was able to get some publicity. I was able to do this. But life is full of this. I mean, with the law of attraction, life is full of all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Do every day stuff is going to happen. And our response to that is key to really everything that goes on. I was trying to explain to a young man the other day that was having a really difficult day, and he had lost his job, and he had loved this job, and he it was really just devastating him, and he couldn't let go, and he was just replaying the firing over in his mind, and he was really stuck. To get him to understand that something is coming, there's a new opportunity. Mm-hmm. Get him to see that this has the ability. I don't know of anyone that hasn't ever left a job that hadn't eventually said, well, thank goodness I left that job, if you're thinking correctly. But when you're in the middle of it, you attack your security or what your comfort zone is.
Right.
And well, I don't have money to pay my rent. I don't have money to do this. And that, those are certainly real things. But his perspective was so negative that he was just bringing on, he was miserable for about 2 weeks solid, totally miserable. Once he got his mindset changed, he got a job right away, a better job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a different mindset that you know, just like with, you know, taking whatever happens, the weather or life situations, the reality is going to be what it's going to be. And our job is to respond to that. And that, you know, I always I was brought up believing that our reality was dictated to us, and you had to sort of live with that. And since I've discovered the law of attraction and how it works in my life, my reality is really dictated by my perspective. I get to view it how I want to view it. Today's a great day for me. So I got a lot of good stuff happening today. I'm meeting a couple of buddies at the gym later today. I got just great stuff happening. Well, or it's a Saturday. I can't do anything. It's going to interfere with my plans. I can look at it wherever I choose to look at it. I'm looking at it as a really exciting day.
That's the best way to do it. Of course, we record this on a Saturday, so that's why you're listening on a Thursday and we're talking about Saturday. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, we don't want to confuse you with that kind of thing. But another thought came to my mind, too, as we're talking about this. It's like I'm getting all these rain thoughts today. Something I just read yesterday, in fact, and it was something I reread, actually, from Abraham Hicks. Abraham Hicks, of course, Esther Hicks is the person who channels all this stuff. And she tells a story about how she was at her home in, I think it's in Texas or Arizona, I can't remember which. And she walked outside and just noticed how parched everything was. You know, not a whole lot of rain falls down in that area anyway. And so, you know, she was thinking to herself, apparently she's in contact with Abraham all the time, so she has these little conversations in her head, and she says, boy, I wish it would rain. I mean, we really need some rain out around here because everything's so parched and dry, and it's just not really nice. Abraham says, well, you're not going to attract any rain that way. If you want rain, you got to decide, first of all, why do you want the rain? And she says, well, because it'll green things up. The animals will have something to drink. It's nicer. It's more pleasant. The flowers come up. And they said, now you're going to get rain. And sure enough, late that afternoon, there was a rainstorm, and the evening news reported that there was an isolated thunderstorm had appeared in one little part of the valley.
And that is, you know, what that's literally attracting, you know, just attracting to you. And that I've heard her talk about that before. That's such an amazing, really, when you talk about that ability, that's amazing. But it really isn't when you understand how the law of attraction works. But
no.
But it's like, I don't believe for, you know, the average person has yet developed the ability to do that. But once you really
well,
get
actually,
to that
I've
place.
Done it, but that's really neither here nor there, because what's really important is the message in it.
Right.
Because the message is, if you want to attract something, don't think about its lack. Don't think about its opposite. Think about the thing itself. Focus
right.
on that, and then take action in that direction, and that's going to get you there. I mean, the story you told about the guy who kept complaining that he didn't have any money because he lost his job, he was basically saying, I don't want money. I don't want a job.
and that's the piece of where, when I get feedback to what we talk about, that's the piece with most people. It's, I don't quite get it.
It's a hard piece to get.
It really is, because I want this, but you know, what do you not want?
Right.
And And it really is. I heard somebody, this saying's been around for a long time, worrying about something is literally like praying for something to happen. I mean, it's almost like praying for what you don't want to happen.
It is.
And it is so hard. It's so conditioned. And I don't know of a scientist that has told me this or not. I've really asked a bunch of different people. Is worry and just dread and all the stuff that comes, all that negative set of emotions, is that inherent in our nature or has that been taught to us over the years? I know in my house growing up, worry was a sport. It was fun. We worried about stuff that just way out of our control. But yet I have met people who have the ability. I don't know if you watched the movie with Tom Hanks recently about the spy in Russia. His newest movie about bridges or something.
I remember that one.
Long story. His Russian counterpart really had the best. He was standing in court and they were reading a list of charges that were just ridiculous. Obviously going to be the death penalty kind of stuff. And Tom Hanks looked at him. The guy was just smiling and shaking his head. And Tom Hanks looked at him and said, "Aren't you worried?" And he goes, "Would it help?" Well, and he said that multiple times throughout the, and it really was such an amazing point of view. Like, yeah, what? Yes, I am probably worried, but what's the point? And if I can start, one of my goals over the years has been to stop worrying, to take worry out of the equation. I've done a really good job with that. And I don't say it doesn't exist anymore, but I've actually had to, my mother, who great lady, grew up with, an alcoholic father and that worry, her worry comes from a lot of that.
Wow.
And, over the years, I've had to really work hard in our conversations without her bringing me into her worry. Here's an example. I could pick up the phone and call my mom. And there was a time that she would answer with, "What's wrong?"
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, no hello. Or you know, she saw the caller ID and just couldn't even wait and say, "What's wrong?" And I said, "So what you're telling me subconsciously is you're anticipating there's something going to be happening here. There's a problem."
Something negative. Yeah,
a negative, a wrong. And you're just waiting on that to happen. And she said, "Well, I don't mean that." And I go, "Well, I know you don't think that, but you're obviously feeling that." So over the years, she's learned not to start with "What's wrong?"
That's good. That's improvement.
It is, but she probably still feels "What's wrong?" But has learned not to say it out loud at least.
So, one little baby step. That's good.
Exactly. But we tend to do that. We almost tend, to wow. Is that phone call going to be a negative? Is that knock on the door going to be a negative? There's mindsets that we get into. You know, Friday the 13th was, I think, last week or the week before, last week. And so many people have built in the Friday the 13th as sort of a bad day. I've always sort of had great Friday the 13th. Last Friday the 13th wasn't any different. It was really good.
I mean, the only reason that we even have that myth is because of an attack on the Knights Templar back around, I think it was the 4th century. I think it's safe to say that event is long since passed.
Right.
We don't have to worry about that one anymore.
Well, ironically, on that day, because I laughed, and I don't remember this because it happened that day, I was driving to the gym that day, and a black cat crossed my path on Friday the 13th. That combination of stuff, I was like, I laughed because I just laugh at the absurdity of the negative connotation of either of those events. But it shows how our society has a built-in excuse for negative-type issues to be taking place.
Well, you know, if the black cat thing was true, I should be dead. And the reason I say that is we have two black cats.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you've ever fed cats, you know that when you're going to the kitchen, they walk across your path back and forth. So basically,
yes.
I have black cats crossing my path over and over and over and over again. I should be dead.
Yes, you should. But built in with us is you know, there's these almost ritual like thinking patterns which are negative. And you know if this happens, this bad's going to happen. Or I tend to think, you know, I use the term often dealing with my clients, is spiraling. You can spiral up and you can spiral down.
Absolutely.
And, And I really encourage people, when you identify a spiral in either direction, you can feed it or you can starve it. You know, if I'm spiraling up, feed that. Just acknowledge this is an incredible day. Everything I'm touching is turning to gold. It's working perfectly. Let's get a lot done. If I'm spiraling down, let's call a timeout. Let's stop. And that's so important when you realize within a day, whether it's, you know, we started talking about the weather, whether it's the weather or what, your mindset is in your control. Understanding mm-hmm. that moves everything it moves the bar to your favor. You know, it's like the law of attraction gives you that almost like that edge of the casino. It's almost like counting cards at the casino. It gives you that edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be playing on the house side, so to speak, or the sucker side? And for so long we have.
I volunteer for the house.
Yeah. And trust me, I did a lot of research on that. And, for those that don't know, I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. And trust me, the house does win.
They're very good at it.
Yeah, they're really good at it. And I was really stubborn trying to prove that. But,
you did a great job. I want to pat you on the back.
Thank you. But as we go forward with our thinking, understanding that this is an incredible opportunity for us to take whatever day we're having. Mm-hmm. And if it's not going like we want, we can stop it. If it is, enjoy it. Feel it, spiral into it. Just go up and or down. When the down starts, stop. When the up is going, dive into it. It's, you know, I've had days where it's just like, wow, this happened, this happened. Make this call, do these things, and I'm really getting very productive, and I find myself enjoying the spiral so much. And I've learned to live within those spirals, upwards of spirals, in a very comfortable manner.
I this is way off topic, but it just occurred to me. I have no idea what this recording is going to look like on YouTube. But what I do know is all I see is you. I don't see me come up there. So this may be like a one-sided video for all I know.
Well, because what I have is I show a little box of me down in the lower right with your main picture.
Right. I see that because we do this over Skype. But when I look at the recorder video, it's just you.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I'm not sure what this is going to look like. It may not look like anything worth doing. So what we said about watching this on YouTube, ignore that one for now. We don't know for sure this is going to work.
It may not be on YouTube. It might just be a recording, and all that was just a waste of the beginning of the show. As we are going to continue to do with what we're doing with the show, we're trying to expand it. The point of us taking it to YouTube is I really believe this message is something that our country is starving for, the world is starving for. And I know there's other people that talk about it, but I don't know of any other shows that are directed to the level that we're directed to the Law of Attraction. And
no, I don't think there are any. I mean, we really go into the nitty-gritty of it in ways that others don't even dare touch, because we actually dare to touch the negative side, and the others don't want to do that.
Right. And I find most people can most people can touch the negative because that's where they're at. So if we could bring them with us from the negative to the positive, I think that's a better conduit than somebody saying, I can't relate to that, what you're saying. They can relate when we will allow the negative to be on this side. We're not living in the negative. We're using examples of the negative and how you can turn it over. And that becomes very important. Most people, I work with people in a lot of different capacities. And one of the first things that I do when people want to lose weight, like they have a huge amount of weight to lose, one of the first things I do is it sounds really stupid, but we don't have this big chain. Let's stop drinking sodas. Let's stop that. Let's stop. Start with sodas. Stop.
Which is a huge thing to start with, actually.
And if they can stop that, let's just then drink water. Most people have a hard time saying, just drink water all day. I can remember years ago, I used to drink iced tea or soda all the time.
Mm.
I have not had a soda in probably 10 years, and might not have. I might only drink water in 10 years. I can't think of anything else I've drank in 10 years, other than my protein shakes, but they're water-based. But the idea that we start on one side and we move over with someone, you don't just jump into something. So most people, they can only sort of understand this at the pace they go. So where we're heading with this, I would love to have a call-in show. In my mind, It starts at 7 in the morning, and it goes until drive time. Mm-hmm. And literally talking to people on their way to work about the law of attraction and the positive side, and have positive affirmations. Can you imagine if people would tune into that and help start their day? That would be incredible.
Oh, I think you could actually do a scientific survey to show that people who listen to LOA Today on that kind of a schedule would see gigantic changes in their lives compared to people who don't listen. I don't say that just to boost the show. I really think that's what would happen.
Well, and that's what I truly believe. I know what it's done in my life. I know what the law of attraction, understanding it, applying the principles of my life, I know what it's done for me. I can't imagine, and I don't do it perfectly, nor do I claim to do it perfectly, nor do you. We certainly have our days. But within a day, I am able to, I haven't had a completely bad day of negative thinking in a long, long time.
Besides, we don't aim for perfection. We aim for improvement.
Improvement. And that's where everybody needs, if we could get up, if you were walking in the door to work and you were very excited about your day and you were really, really, really moving on and say, wow, this job is, it went from being negative to, I'm grateful for the job. I get a paycheck. I mean, that alone is there's millions of people that would love to be in that position of just getting a paycheck. Let's start with that.
Oh, yeah.
And then we take it to that next step of, now that we've looked at that, what is next? What are we planning on next? Is this where I'm going with my job? Am I going to be better in my job? Am I going to look for another job? People then have a new attitude toward getting up and going to work. You remember that most people always start with, if you remember the first day of a new job, how excited you were to get there. You were probably early. You were up. You had no trouble getting out of bed. You were there at work. Everything was great. And then after about 6 months, it's like, oh, snooze button. I got to go into work again.
Yep.
And that's a big thing. So imagine driving to work and you're hearing us remind you, you don't have to go to work today. You get to go to work today. Mm. You get to do that. And imagine that. So where we're eventually going with this, I hope, is to a larger audience on a drive time type format 5 days a week where we could get this message out. I look at the Skype adventure that we're trying to record and put on the on YouTube. We'll eventually figure that out, I'm sure.
Because we won't give up. It's not like we're having a negative experience because we didn't record right, so we're just going to throw it out the window. We'll say, no, we just got to zig and zag a little bit and figure out how to make this thing work.
Well, other people do it, so we certainly can figure out how to do it. Well,
actually, a lot of people can't figure it out, but we can figure it out anyway.
Well, it took me 20 minutes to accept a Google Hangout this morning, so you're talking about...
That was funny.
The bar's pretty high.
By the way, also, you were mentioning how a drive time show would be great because it would be helping people who have jobs. We're also going to be just as helpful for the people who don't have jobs. In fact, what we're teaching, what I've actually been learning myself directly and deliberately over the last month is how to get myself into a positive framework when I don't have a job. I mean, I've talked about it a few times. I've been interviewing for jobs. Nothing's getting anywhere. No interviews or anything like that. But I still have plans that I put out there. And more importantly, I have intentions of where I want to be and what kind of results I want to have and so forth. And I'm realizing there's actually a reason, I think, why the jobs aren't appearing. It's because something better is lined up. And I think I know what that something better is. One of my skills is I'm very good at what is known as Google AdWords, which is the advertising that you see on a search result page. And so I am in the process of bringing on telemarketers and people who will help me acquire customers so that I can provide this service on a for-pay basis, which is really right up in line with what I'd like to do anyway, because I love working for myself. I love working from home. I love all the aspects about that. I love the freedom of my schedule. I can go take a walk during the day if I want to, where everybody else is stuck in the office. Ha 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 ha. That's the way I look at it, right? And even though the income isn't here yet, I can still visualize that. That's the key. I could very easily, and I've been doing this in the past, and I'm changing it now, I could very easily be focusing on, I don't have a job, there's no money coming in, we're in danger of losing our home, we're in danger of all this other stuff. I could be focusing on that, and guess what? When I focused on that, that's where things kept going down, down, and down, and down. Lately, I turned that around. I said, you know what? I may not have the job now, but I'm going to imagine that things have gotten better. They haven't actually gotten better, but no, I'm going to take that out of my my whole mindset. I'm going to eliminate that from my vocabulary and say, you know what? I like the idea of where I'm going with this project. I can see the result. I can imagine it. I can imagine I've got telemarketers making phone calls for me and getting clients. I can imagine that next month I've got 10 new customers, which would be huge. That would be like a gigantic income in 1 month. I can see that happening. And you know what, Joel? I already have some telemarketers lined up. The only thing that has been holding me back so far is I need to have what they call a CRM, which is basically an online way for the telemarketer to, you know, enter data and check a list about who to call and here's what the result was, so we can track all that kind of thing. I've been having that built. The main part of it got finished this week. I have one piece that needs to get added to it that basically puts in the script that the telemarketer uses and provides some data so they can just see it right there on screen. So everything's right there on their computer, and then they'll be ready to rock, and that's going to happen Monday of this week, according to my programmer. So I'm really, really, really close. But in order to even get to this point, the only way I could do it was to keep focusing on what end result I wanted to have. I had to take my mind off of all that stuff about not enough money and so forth and keep it on, wow, wouldn't it be so cool if I can get this to work? And now I'm this close to it.
Well, and that envisioning it and seeing it and feeling it, it's amazing what that power is. It really is. I never, one of the things that Abraham Hicks crowd talks about a lot was, you know, get $1,000 if you have $1,000, or even mentally just have $1,000 and spend it $100, $200, $300 at a time. Do it $100. Spend it multiple times a day mentally, not literally spending it.
Yeah.
Getting yourself in a belief pattern that you have, then the universe buys into this is how it really is. So it fills the void for you. And it really does work.
There's a fascinating side to that. I want to talk about that particular exercise because my wife and I tried it one day. The way they recommend doing it is you start off, like you say, with $1,000, and then you increase it, you double it every day. And each day you mentally in your mind decide how you would spend that. We decided we wanted to compress the whole thing. So we were going to do it all in one day. So first, I'd come up with what I'd do with $1,000, then she'd come up with what she'd do with $2,000, then I'd come up with what I'd do with $4,000, and so on and so forth. You know what the amazing thing was, Joel? We got up to like, you know, $32,000, $64,000. We ran out of ideas.
Right.
I mean, that's the part that blew my mind. You would have thought, I would have thought, that there are endless amounts of things that I'd want to spend it on, but it turns out there aren't. It really surprised me. And when I realized that, then I realized, well, what the heck am I getting all bent out of shape about?
That's the lesson. At Christmas time, I get a call from my mother every year, and she says, "What do we get you for Christmas?"
Yes. And what'd you say? I don't know.
I'm like, "Mom, I have every single thing I need, without a doubt. And 99% of the things that I want, and maybe more, I don't know of anything I actually want anymore." And that's the abundance. I mean, because I do have an abundance in how I feel, if I want it, I'll go get it. And my son, Chris, one time asked me, he said, "Dad, can we buy a Lamborghini?" And I laughed and I said, "Well, technically we could buy a Lamborghini, but we would have to move into it." at the time he was 12, and I said, "I would be okay with that." And I said, "Well," I said, "I appreciate that, son, but I'm not going to move into a Lamborghini."
There just isn't enough room in the bedroom.
No, the bedrooms, there was three of us living together at the time. I guess TJ could have had the back seat. I could have the driver's seat. It would not have worked out well. But I don't want a Lamborghini. I really don't. It's not something that's on my horizon. But whatever I've wanted, I've been able to get. So I really live in that. There's really nothing that I don't want anymore. And I can get whatever I want to get. I don't have any delay in that. And that's not a bragging sense, or I'm not trying to sound like a big shot. It's just my mindset now. I don't view a lack of anything in my life. There is no lack in my life whatsoever.
And that is it. Just removing the idea of lack, removing the idea of absence, and replacing it with presence.
Right.
Even though it's not there.
Right.
Which is very strange. It's not easy to do at first. Well, at first you say to yourself, well, it's not there. That's stupid. But well, it's not stupid.
It's not stupid because what you're really doing is you're removing something instead of adding. You're removing the feeling of lack, which invites more. Lack is...
That's right.
The when you watch TV and you see how people live on TV or all these, and you think, wow, I'm not living that way, so I must be lacking what these people are lacking, and society almost tells you, wow, you got to be doing it wrong because look how all these people are living.
Yeah,
you know, you look at Facebook and you see all of the people who are putting on an image of how they're living, and you're like, wow, I'm just not living up to what they're at. And the truth is that a lot of times most of the time, that's not a realistic view of how people are living.
No.
But it's irrelevant because your feeling of lack is an internal feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, other factors can contribute to it, but when you stop living with lack and you start living with the feeling of having an abundance, more of an abundance appears, and it works.
It's an interesting thing because I mentioned my project and hiring telemarketers and so forth. Just yesterday, I had a phone call from a guy who responded to one of my ads, and he wasn't really a telemarketer. He's like a serial entrepreneur and has had quite a bit of success. He actually had one business that was very successful, ran for about 11 years. It basically got wiped out because he made the mistake of having one very large client, the Emerson Company, and then Emerson made a change in how they did business with vendors, and the change basically wiped him out entirely. So he lost all of his business in one fell swoop, and it just kind of crashed after that. He was telling me how he is so used to just having money. He's so used to just, you know, you need something, you just go buy it. And then in the last year, 2 years, something like that, he's had to deal with a tight budget. And he said, it was such a new experience for me. I can't afford that. It was brand new to him, which is not the way we think of people who are well off.
Right.
This is a guy who was making a comfortable, very comfortable, six-figure income, and it disappeared.
Right.
You know, big, big shift in his life. Now, how does he look at it? Does he focus on the fact that he has this huge lack? No, he's focused on what his next entrepreneurial venture is. He's not wasting any time on it at all. Well, that's why he's talking to me.
That's why he's talking to you. That's where success comes from. There's a gentleman that was a client. He actually very successful, but had lost. He had really, really gotten into day trading with stocks and got hammered. He had about $5 million when he started, and was down to about $1 million when he quit. And it was amazing to see him. His stock was Apple, and he would pick whichever way it would go. He would do the opposite. He was just convinced.
There was some trader out there that was saying, whatever he does, do the opposite.
I was about to say, I could have made $4 million just doing the opposite trades of him. So, after we decided to stop the bleeding and really start looking at things, his initial reaction was, I've lost everything. It's over. I'm like, you have $1 million in a bank account right now. Well, yeah, but I had $5 million, and his concept was just stuck on lack of where I was at versus where I'm at now. I don't have anything compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
And once he was able to stop the bleeding, he's very successful in his job. Day trading was obviously not his thing.
No.
Once he got, he develops, he's a scientist, and he develops, he'll come up with a new discovery drug-wise and help get drugs patented.
Okay.
So he after all that happened, the day trading thing happened, he came up with some diabetes drug, him and another partner did, and now they sold it to a company. Now he's in really good shape again. Mm-hmm. Not that he was in bad shape when he had $1 million, but you get my point.
Oh, yeah.
His mindset,
the funny thing, I love that mindset that you described about how he only had $1 million. It reminds me of a TV show, a sitcom from Britain that my wife and I used to watch a lot, where one of the main protagonists in the show is a multimillionaire publisher, very successful in publishing, hundreds of millions of dollars and so forth, or pounds. And he ends up making some bad investments, same kind of thing, and loses it all. And he's just desolate. He's just in total despair. And then he finally gets a phone call from somebody saying, wait a minute, there's one little chink of light. There's a little bit that's over here. Oh, great. So he goes and takes care of that and finds out that okay, there is at least something he can work with. But he warns them that there's only like £1 million left.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is a catastrophe.
it's so sad there's only £1 million left. But that is where we're at, you know, where I saw this great video on YouTube several years ago, and it was this little kid somewhere in the Northeast. He was telling Santa his Christmas list.
Mm.
And he was going on, I need the new Xbox, I need this, I need this, and you know, just a long list. And Santa was shaking his head, yes, yes, yes. And then it cut to a kid like in Ethiopia who said, I want food.
Mm.
And the idea that to be such extreme in what their views are and what they're and where we're at and what's available is we get stuck in our own preconceived ideas of what we have. And we have such a when you can look at the abundance that exists, and especially with what the majority of the world has, we're so blessed to be where we're at. We have so much going for us. Whereas anywhere in the world you could be successful with this way of thinking, no matter what your scenario is.
Right.
We certainly live in a place where it's much easier to manifest and bring these things about in our country.
Oh yeah.
It's everything's available right here. It doesn't have to break any rules of physics to happen here.
And it's not like we have an economy that hasn't been suffering, where we've lost a lot of ground, where basically there've been a lot of bad things that have happened. All that is true. And yet, we're still the economy that the rest of the world focuses on because they know this is where they're going to have the best chance to sell their stuff, make the most money if they want to come to a place to make money, all that kind of thing. The American dream is alive and well. It's tattered. It's in shreds in many ways, but it's still there. We're a lot better off than most of the world.
And hopefully we'll continue to be in that scenario. I believe if we could adapt more of this way of thinking, it really, you know, without getting into politics, because I know we have people all over the board in politics, and I don't even like to discuss it, but the economy is simply based on how the people feel. It really is like with, you know, when we've transitioned from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter was about, we're running out of resources. We need to turn down our heat, wear sweaters.
Yeah, yeah, famous speech. We are a nation in crisis. Yeah,
right.
Which is about the worst LOA speech you could give.
Right. Then Ronald Reagan comes up in a few months later and goes, are you kidding me? We have everything. We need to build bigger cars, turn up that heat, turn down that air condition. We're the United States of America. And once it was like, wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure we needed the bigger cars, although that's what they made. But it was certainly a much more positive message, and that's the key thing.
The message was that back then, bigger the car meant better. Now I wouldn't want one of those big, you know. But at the time,
but that's what everybody bought. They're all the big SUVs now. I can't see on the road anymore.
Yeah, now they're too big. But within that, the positive message is what eventually that chain of events through Reagan to Bush to Bill Clinton led to. Really our best economic time ever, in my opinion, one of the best economic times where things were really good because the idea was good. And then after September 11th, when those planes hit the building, it's like our attitude went to the negative again.
Oh, yeah, all the air came out of the balloon.
Yeah, and then the economy just sort of falling apart. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changed was our optimism. It was – and if we ever get it back, would you live within the optimism of – we're here for a reason. There's a point for us to be here. Live like it. Let's feel it. Let's enjoy it. When you do that, it's amazing how much different life is. I wake up every day with I say this, people think it's corny. I have friends that laugh at me for this, but I really wake up and the first thing I say is thank you. I got another day, at least the start of another day.
I think that's a terrific thing to do.
And no matter what's going on in my life, I feel incredible because, wow, I got another shot. I get another shot to do this every day.
Yeah. You know, and when you said that, it cued something in my mind that came from a conversation I had with my brother last week. We talked about this whole thing. You and I have talked in the past about gratitude or appreciation or how do you want to look at that. And you're very much a gratitude man. I tend to lean toward appreciation. I'm here to say I've actually decided on a new word. I'm not going to be such an appreciation person. I am now a cherish person.
Oh, you're upping the ante with cherish.
I'm upping the ante, yeah, because I like the meaning of cherish. Cherish, to me, has all the good sides of gratitude. It discards any of the potential bad sides, and it basically says, I am going to appreciate everything about everyone and everything about me individually. And if the more that I do that, first of all, I'm spending all my time on positives. What a great idea.
Exactly.
And second of all, there's actually a physical interaction that goes on there. And this is where my brother and I came into this topic. We were talking about quantum physics. And one of the main things about quantum physics that caught my attention, I'm sure it probably caught your attention many years ago when it first came out, was this idea that the observer impacts the particle.
Yes.
I mean, they actually can do subatomic recordings where they can study what happens to a particle when an observer is looking at it. And then also measure what happens when no observer is looking at it. And it turns out the observer can influence the behavior of the particle. When I first heard that concept, I said, no, it can't be. That's not the way the world works. But I also was open-minded enough to say, well, if that's true, that basically obliterates everything I understand about how the world works.
Yes. Yes.
And that was earth-shattering.
Well, when you, I was having this very similar conversation with a client this week, and I wish I wrote this down so we can take this. It's not far to look on YouTube. There's a scientist that did some research on. He took water, just plain old water. He looked at it under a microscope.
Emoto,
is it
Professor Emoto from Japan? Yeah,
and he, that way he prays over it. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he looks at the structure after it's been prayed over.
Yep.
It's different.
It's dramatically different, not just a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything that he does as positive has nice, beautifully formed crystals. Anything that he does negative, it's like I got attacked by an atom bomb. It's just so bad.
Yes. Yes. And you see that every day, where we influence what's happening and you don't even realize it. I laughed at myself I know the traffic lights don't just respond to me. I understand that. But I have this one stretch of road, and I've mentioned this to you before. On my way to work, there's four traffic lights between me and work. I take some interstate along the way, too. And it timed perfectly, it's wonderful. You hit all four green. I never hit them all four red. It's just almost impossible to do. Well, last week, I was going, and I was running just a tad late, and for me, that's 5 minutes. I'm only going to be 5 minutes early instead of 10 minutes early. That's a tad late for me. So I'm driving.
You are tough on yourself, I'll tell you.
I get that first light, and it catches me, and I was like, I just slipped. I go, oh, my God, I can't believe I got stuck by that light. So we start up. I get stuck by the second light. And I was like, oh, my, I don't know what I'm, and I've caught myself by the third light. I'm hoping I get caught by the fourth light. I just want to make this. I've never got all
set
four.
Set the record.
Like I did with the rain. I want to set the record with all four lights. And sure enough, I got caught with that fourth light.
Oh,
and I
funny.
Turned it into a positive. I laughed at that point. And so I find myself when you start dreading something, you're inviting it. When you start doing, just like, you know, I love your word cherish, and I'm going to try that one for a while. You know, I'm so ingrained with gratitude, but, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I just liked what cherish did in my psyche. It felt good.
Well, I like that. And words have power.
They do.
And especially words that, you know, like cherish has, it seems more powerful than some words when it express a positive. Cherish is beyond grateful on some levels.
Some way, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've been experimenting, and one day we'll talk more about this too, but I've been doing a lot of experimentation with transcendental meditation.
Oh, lately. Really?
Yes.
TM.
Yes. And, I have a guru that I know, a gentleman I've done some work with. We've done a little barter work back and forth, and he's teaching me TM. Mm-hmm. But within that, we're sort of adding some law of attraction stuff to TM with some pretty amazing results.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, generally, not to get too much, TM is basically a concept of you get a mantra, or you say you just sit down and you focus on nothing except you repeat to yourself this mantra over and over and over, and it takes you to, some people claim it takes you to a real high level of consciousness, or it could take you other places in a lot of ways. Well, when your mantra becomes one based of cherish, for example, if cherish was your mantra, then that gets instilled as well. And so I have found the early results of our experimentation have been pretty awesome. I've been doing it 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night.
Uh-huh.
And for me, sitting still for 15 minutes is incredibly hard.
We're talking about real discipline here.
Real discipline for me. But at the same time, I am finding it pretty interesting. So I hope to be able to report some positive stuff on that down the road where it's good. But it really is the first few days of doing this have been exceptional. So I want to share that with our audience as we go. But I want that internal dialogue to constantly be clicked on the spiraling upward of gratitude or cherishing the moments or the events, cherishing the fact that you know I laughed at in the beginning. I talked about the picture on the wall behind you, and I have a trash can over my shoulder. you know the idea that you know I have I'm able to have a room in my house that's just dedicated to this. That's what this computer's for. Mm-hmm. This is my radio room. This is the fact. I love that. I love the fact that I'm in a position to have my room to just be a radio room. And so with everything that we have going on, find the stuff we're grateful for or appreciate and live in that appreciation, cherish those moments. That's how you turn it around.
And it's really important to have that mindset because taking back to your analogy about the traffic lights.
Yes.
Well, I can tell a similar story, but this time from the more positive side. If we want to go to Whole Foods, the nearest Whole Foods to where we are is about 7 or 8 miles away, and you have to go kind of a meandering way to get there. Along that route, there are probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lights, something like that. The last time we went there, which I believe was a week ago, I was into the same question that I was talking about earlier. How am I going to feel about what's going on with me financially? I could be stuck in that bad place, or I could get myself into a good place. And I decided to get myself stuck in the good place by thinking about these telemarketers I got coming on board and how this project is coming together. And you know what? I was feeling really good. And I didn't even notice at first, but we went to the Whole Foods, got our stuff, and got into the car. And as we were going, we hit every green light, which you never do. You
right.
never get all of them. You're lucky to get maybe half of them on a really good day. We were hitting every one. It wasn't until I'd gotten like 3/4 of the way through, I said, we haven't had a red. We've had all green lights. I wonder if we can get all the way through. And my wife said, yeah, I don't know why not. Let's just keep focusing on where we're focusing. We're feeling good. So we just kept feeling good. You know what? We made all 12 or whatever it was, all of the lights from the Whole Foods to home. It was the fastest trip I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Well, because I believe in that stuff. I believe in the fact that as you know, we that applies to every area. When you walk in for a job interview, when you're mentally prepared, those are the things that people pick up on.
Oh yeah.
I know a lot of times I do a lot of coaching for people that have been chronically unemployed, and they come in and they're so stuck on the negative. They're so stuck on almost like anticipating not getting a job. Mm. The mindset's all that needs to be changed. I mean, everybody eventually gets a job if you do it the right way.
And in fact, I'll bet you everybody, if they really think about it, and if they've had more than one job, there's probably at least one job interview they went to where they walked out saying, I got it. I know I got it. It's just, I'm just waiting for the phone call. I can just feel
right.
it. I can
right.
feel that I got it. And of course, the phone call came. Because they were in congruence. Everything was in the right feeling zone, and the universe had to deliver it.
Exactly. I've seen that so much. I've this young lady that had been unemployed, and actually she was doing some nanny work but couldn't get another job, and her mother sent me to her for some other issues as well, but we started working on the job
right.
piece.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves working with animals, so she wanted to be a vet technician. So,
uh-huh.
Wanted to work at a veterinary clinic while she's doing schooling. So she got in school, got her training for school, and she went to the interview and she texted me from the interview and she said, "There's this really this is a very young lady. She's like 21. This other lady that was interviewing was like 29 in a really nice business suit. And and so she was already intimidated right off the bat. She said, I'm sure she'll get the job. She texted me that. And I said, go outside and call me real quick. I said, are you kidding me? I said, look, you know, and I went over her, what she's prepared for, who she is, what her value is, and reprogrammed her. She got called in right away. She called me. She said, and that she doesn't like to be this way because she thinks it's arrogant, but she said, I'm pretty sure I got the job. I said, I guarantee you got the job. And they came out to her car.
Wow.
And they said, can you come in for a training day on Monday just to make sure you fit in with everybody? And she did, of course, she got the job.
Of course.
But if she would have went in thinking the other lady was going to get it, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. The other lady we got it.
Because it does act that quickly.
Oh, it does. It we mentioned last week, I remember this specifically, the law of attraction doesn't have a timetable. We put the timetable on.
Yeah, we're the ones with the timetable.
Right.
And we usually don't realize how good we are at the timetable.
Right. Right.
We're very good at slowing it down. We're very good at speeding it up. And we all kind of do it by default. But it's actually us that are doing it. And that's
right.
That's the hardest part of the concept. That's
right.
It's the same thing as looking at the whole thing about the observer and the particle. How can the observer possibly control the particle? But you know what? It does. Which means we just got to learn how to do it more effectively. That's all.
Well, several years ago, and I don't remember which evangelist did this, but there was, for some reason, Pat Robertson comes to mind, but I don't know if he's the one, that there was a hurricane heading to North Carolina. Mm. And he got everybody in North Carolina to pray that this was dead hit for North Carolina. Mm. And everybody prayed that the hurricane missed them. And he got a lot of attention. The hurricane at the last minute veered off and went on and hit New York.
Mm.
Which, of course, the New York people were actually pissed at him.
Yeah, they weren't very happy about that.
Yeah.
Well, what the heck are you doing?
I'm not suggesting necessarily that God made that hurricane move.
No,
I'm suggesting that the power of the thought of all those people combined made that happen.
Oh,
I really believe that.
I know of another example. In Washington, D.C., excuse me, about, I'm going to say, 10 years ago, something like that, a group of religious people decided to do an experiment. They were going to pray for Washington to have for lack of a better term, a crime-free day, a day where everybody is safe and it's just nice weather and everything goes really, really well. And they actually did that for a whole weekend. And then they checked later on after they did this weekend to find out what the results were, and they learned that compared to normal crime rates in Washington, D.C., it plummeted that day by something like 60%.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge drop.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that we have influences on things that we don't realize we have influences on.
Oh, yeah.
And again, maintaining or developing control over the things we have influences on is a very, it's not as difficult as we make it. We make it difficult, but.
Means we can also inversely make it easy.
It
works both ways.
Yes. I've been amazed at the stuff that I used to have problems with, I no longer have problems with it. It's just, for years, financial stuff was my problem. And I've just really gotten to a point. I'm not rich, but financial stuff is not a problem anymore. And other areas that I have experienced, you know, resistance in, I've made improvements. And eventually, those don't become problems either.
Mm.
But we have a lot of things that we have a lot of resistance to having in our life, and we don't realize where is the resistance and what is it about the resistance. And I can spend many sessions with people trying to figure out what their resistance to it is. And that's once you can get your resistance out of the way, it happens guaranteed. But I try to mention on every show, and so this is a little random time to do it, but if you don't know what your resistance is and you don't really understand why this isn't working for you, we really would appreciate you contacting us. We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to have you on the air.
We should also probably tell them how to contact us.
Yeah, that'd be a great
idea. That's a little helpful.
Yeah, why don't we do that too? Because why don't you tell us, Walt?
Yeah, well, basically, the easiest way to do it is by email. And the email addresses are incredibly easy because they are Walt, at loatoday.net and Joel at loatoday.net, which means even my wife can remember that in her senior moment. It's not going to be difficult.
Well, and you know, the idea that we made it intentionally easy, we would love to have you on. I feel that this is where our show is eventually going to go. I would love to have guests on.
No doubt about it.
And be able to help people see, you know, where is your resistance? Can we help you break that down?
Oh, and by the way, we're not going to force you to be on video.
Yeah, well, you won't have
we'll be on video. You'll just be this inanimate or this invisible voice in the background that nobody will ever see. So don't worry about that part.
Yeah, don't worry about the video. You don't have to use your real name. You could do. There's nothing we're worried about on those levels. We want you to. We're just trying to help people sort of discover what we're at, and then once we do this equally for us, because this is a reminder to me every week when I do this that this is such a one of the largest factors in my life. That this law of attraction, working with it, it's turned more things around for me than anything else I've done in my life. And it's good to have that reminder every week.
It's good to have the reminder, and it's good to feel good.
Oh,
because
yeah.
No matter how our weeks have gone, and we've both been through trials, and we've both been through ups as well, when you get to Saturday and time to record for next Thursday's show, it's like, yeah, we get an hour feeling really, really great.
Exactly. It keeps us, at least for me, I can speak, it is something that I've grown to look forward to. So,
oh, me too.
So again, anybody that wants to be on the show, there is no dumb questions. We certainly would welcome you. And we're not trying to set anyone up for any kind of confrontational event.
No.
We simply want to offer any advice or suggestions we have. And so just please consider contacting us by email. What's that email address again?
Walt. It's Walt at loatoday.net and Joel at loatoday.net.
That's great.
And there's some great news about next week, because we will have somebody to talk to next week.
Oh, that's right.
David Bennett coming back to visit us to talk about his book in greater detail. So not only is it a great LOA experience, but if you've ever wanted to know what it's like on the other side, so to speak, David wrote an entire book on it based on his experiences from his two near-death experiences. And let me tell you, you're going to be amazed by the things that he has to say. So you want to tune into the show. So what a great way to end this week's show, I think, to get all excited about next week's show.
Yes, and he's an amazing guest, and we're blessed to have him. I can't wait to hear him next week.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I can't wait to hear you two guys talk. You kind of missed it because you lost your voice that other time, but this time you're going to have a chance to talk to him.
Oh, wow.
And you guys have so many things in common. I think you're going to just click like that. It's going to be amazing.
I feel the same way. So, again, tune in next week, and I really hope everybody can just enjoy what we have going on here, because these are amazing times if you allow them to be.
Every time is an amazing time, but this is the most amazing because it's the one that's happening right now.
Completely.
That means no matter what time you're in, if you can focus on the great stuff that's happening right now, everything gets better. And I don't mean just in your own life. Everything literally gets better.
Well, all of our power exists in right now. And right now. In fact, that's the only power we have is right now.
Yeah.
Because yesterday's irrelevant. Tomorrow's not promised. And right now is where our power exists. Our power of action exists right now in this moment.
Which is, by the way, why it's so good to be grateful about what's happening right now, because you get another right now. Hooray! Right now.
Yeah, and learning to live within that, and you know, the book, The Power of Now, and that concept is so strong that when you combine the understanding of the law of attraction and where your power exists right now, that's amazing. It's an amazing tool to combine.
The only bad thing about right now is that right now the show's coming to an end.
Oh, well,
but the good thing is we're going to do it again next week.
Well, hopefully this experiment worked. If it didn't, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. And regardless, either way you look at it, we'll definitely talk to you next week here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-